Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, John? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the
cuff, baby. What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. It's Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio is always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
They ain't ready. You heard me? Right.
I used to eat the sugar with the toast, bread and butter. Now I get toast like butter. We can stand the rain. We gutter. Time to open up shop.
Lift up the shutter.
Rain opening. Got the grass cooler in the oven. Yeah, next thing gotta go.
Ain't no holding it.
Got the whole block rocking.
Customers rolling in.
Better get your stacks up. We went from nothing to something.
Now ain't that something? Can't let nothing stop me from getting there.
Little nigga trying to size me up.
I'm some serious, so, so serious,
right?
Straight to the point, dot period, dot period.
Capital I, know you heard me, all you hear's me. Man, my company hate misery, digging me.
Stand up in they chest, tell them goodbye. In the city, they don't cry when the good die. Nah, they celebrate for the killers. This ain't for bitch niggas, this for them gorillas. Stand up in they chest, tell them goodbye. In the city they don't cry when a good die. Nah, they celebrate for the killers. This ain't for bitch niggas, this for them gorillas.
Taste it.
They ain't ready. You heard me?
Right. I used to eat the sugar with the toast, bread and butter. Now I get toast like butter.
We
can stand the rain.
We gutter.
Time to open up shop.
Lift up the shutter.
Rain opening. Got the grass cooler in the oven. Yeah, next thing gotta go.
Ain't no holding.
Customers rolling in. Better get your stacks up. We went from nothing to something.
Now ain't that something? Can't let nothing stop me from getting there.
Little nigga trying to size me up. The gangster shit I'm fitting it.
I'm some serious, so, so serious.
Right. Straight to the point, dot period. Dot period.
Capital I, know you heard me, all you hear's me. Man, my company hate misery. Digging me.
Stand up in they chest, tell them goodbye. In the city they don't cry when the good die. Nah, they celebrate for the killers. This ain't for bitch niggas, this for them gorillas. Stand up in they chest, tell them goodbye. In the city they don't cry when the good die. Nah, they celebrate for the killers. This ain't for bitch niggas, this for them gorillas.
Taste it, try the purge. Just touch down, daddy, what's the word?
What's the word? The bird, that's the word.
Well, you know the streets talk, daddy, that's what I heard.
Hey, truly, don't panic, chill, and be patient. We've been ducked off, a lot of time been wasted. And plus, he and L.O. run the shop out the basement. Right.
Oh, yeah, put me on like the needle on the L. The block already high, and I'm about to melt him. It's best you buy from the best top shelf. Ready for the game, shoulder pad with the helmet. Three-time pro bowler, deep in the game. Better ask the bottom every time, so shoulder. With the need and dread, kept the game sober. Plus the iron keep me crease, I never fold up.
Stand up in they chest, tell them goodbye. In the city, they don't cry when the good die. Nah, they celebrate for the killers. This ain't for bitch niggas, this for them gorillas. Stand up in their chest, tell them goodbye. In the city they don't cry when a good die. Nah, they celebrate for the killers. This ain't for bitch niggas, this for them gorillas.
So bubbly. Everything bubble. All progress, no struggle.
Third quarter out, fourth quarter pure muscle.
Flip the game, they can't deal with my shuffle. Step my rep to exec production. I finesse that and network the public. Three S's, I never stress, sweat, and suffer.
We the same green boys in powder stack. Work the block hard, rap and refund tax. Rolled off the showroom floor with three lakhs and double back for three more.
Lay back, relax.
Can't stop now, we built the franchise. It's time to expand, work the outside.
Stand up in their chest, tell them goodbye. In the city they don't cry when the good die. Nah, they celebrate for the killers. This ain't for bitch niggas, this for them gorillas. Stand up in their chest, tell them goodbye. In the city they don't cry when the good die. Nah, they celebrate for the killers. This ain't for bitch niggas, this for them gorillas. Stand up in their chest, tell them goodbye. In the city they don't cry when the good die. Nah, they celebrate for the killers. This ain't for bitch niggas, this for them gorillas.
Yeah, 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 what it is, what it do. This is your man King Eric, the media assassin, coming at y'all with a dope doubleheader. We taking it back to New Orleans. Got my host T-Max with the facts and Pittsburgh Pat on the line right now. And this show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Da Vinci Clothing, Jesse's Boutique, Core Financial, Fleetwood, and the Cotton Pickers.
What it do, y'all. Another fantastic Friday. OTC up in the building. We are here. Yeah.
What's happening? What's happening?
What's going on, Pat? Welcome back with us, man. Great to have you with us, man. Look, two nights in a row. Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know how we do. You know what I'm saying? You'll be hearing a lot from me in the next few weeks, man. We got a lot of work to do, man. A lot of work. We're just getting started, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. We steady taking that tour down to the New Orleans. We peeping the scene out there. And I'm gonna tell y'all,
man, who would have thought a lot of motherfucker named Pittsburgh Pat would be bringing y'all that New Orleans shit? A dude named Pittsburgh Pat be bringing y'all the New Orleans shit. But like I said, I grew up on this shit, man. Like. These artists, man, I'm only fucking with people that I really rock with, man. You know what I'm saying? So, is dude on the line right now?
Yeah, he's going to call shortly. He hit me
okay,
up and
cool.
Let me know what number to call, because sometime on this switchboard, I be seeing different people's numbers, and
yeah.
I don't want to plug in the wrong person. You feel me?
Yeah. I hit him about 15, 20 minutes ago with the number. And I know that he had seen my post and everything. He liked it like 10 minutes ago or something like that. And I know I second-guessed. is he's definitely down. He's waiting, man. So like this show is dope because the first half of it is a dude that is a legend in New Orleans. Like, I grew up on his music, and he's always just been like, he's exactly what you would think a New Orleans legend would sound like. Like, he's the epitome of New Orleans. Like, he's synonymous with it. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of those dudes that, his whole career has just been about putting on for where he's from. You know what I'm saying? He's always rocked with artists from all over the city, no matter what ward they're from, what label they was down with, all that. Like, none of that mattered to him. He rocked with everybody and truly loves the city, you know what I mean? And he's been doing it for a long time. And, he even went to bat for New Orleans before as a response to a well-known song. We'll talk about that when he gets on the line, but it's actually a pretty interesting story, and if you listen to the lyrics of his song, you'll understand it after we talk about it. But then the other artist we got, I actually first heard from the first artist. The first artist is L.O.G., Living Off Game, and he had this album called New Orleans, and it was pretty much just like a compilation full of New Orleans artists. And he had this song called Gorilla Grubbing on it. And there's a dude named Dirt Zire on there. And it, mm-hmm. like, the name alone caught my eye because there's a famous project in the Ninth Ward of New Orleans called the Desire Project. Like, mm-hmm. we all listening to No Soldier Slim. In one of the songs he says, because I got dreams bigger than the Desire Project. I got plans bigger than the Desire Project. And so when I heard Dirt Zire, I'm like, oh, he's probably from Desire. You know what I mean? So I looked it up, and he had his album called Nine, N-I-N-E, Never Ignore Negative Energy. And I listened to it, man, and it was just something different. And, I just got stuck on it, man. I couldn't stop listening to it. So I started listening to his old music and all that. And, like, to be honest, like, that part of the interview is just going to be all of us learning. I don't really know too much about him, so that's why I really wanted him on the show. I wanted to let him tell his story and get to know him a little better and, you know, just give him that platform, you know what I mean? Because even okay. if he gets one new fan from our show, it was worth it, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. So, like,
I'm going to try to bring him on now. I'm going to try to call him from the studio.
Okay.
Who, hello?
Hang on right quick.
Alright. Hello?
What's up, bro?
What's up, baby?
What's going on with you, man? What's going on with you?
Got a legend in the house, man. What's good?
What's cool, babe? What's good with you, babe? What's good with you? Oh. Hello, G, Living Off Game. What's good with you, man? Welcome to Off Club Radio, man. It's great to have you on, man.
It's a blessing, to be in the presence, man. You know what I'm saying? To even be, able to share my story,
man, definitely. For those listeners of our show, they all know that I come from, this is Pittsburgh Pat, by the way. I come from a different show. I've interviewed a million rappers, and I quit for a while, and I came back, and my goal on coming back is to, I've interviewed a million rappers. I want to interview the people that I rock with the most, and everybody knows me. I've always rocked with New Orleans heavy. Last night we had Magnolia Levy on. We got a couple more there. We have Dirt Zire on later tonight, but I reached out to you because real fans of New Orleans music, on a national level, everybody thinks Cash Money, No Limit, but real fans of New Orleans know that you are one of the main people down there. You were, when you think New Orleans, you're one of the first artists we think of. You identify with the city, like your name is synonymous with the city. So I just wanted to salute you and show you the respect you deserve for being a pioneer of New Orleans hip hop. And thank you for all that you've done. I mean, our second guest tonight, Dirt Zaire, I wouldn't know him if it wasn't for you. I heard him first on the New Orleans album. So
on the New Orleans, that was your first heard him on?
Yeah, it's the first time I heard it. I mean, like I got locked up before. I did a few years, so I was a little out of the scene and out of touch with everything. So when I came home and heard that, a lot of artists on that album, I was like, oh, he's nice, he's nice. And his name stuck out to me just because, like, the Desire projects and everything. So I checked him out. I love that joint.
But, you familiar with the YG? The YG?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I don't know if you ever heard that. That was like a project we did, like in a... We released in 99. The YG's, one of the songs that was kind of banging was The Florida Desire.
I'm going to check that.
That was like, it was like two guys out the Florida project and two guys out the Desire. And Desire was one of those guys.
Oh, damn. Yeah,
I remember years ago when he was a kid, you know what I'm saying? He was real young, very talented, gifted with the pen, you know, had a good pen game, you know what I'm saying? And him and rest in peace, Keith, you know what I'm saying, little brother Keith, and rest in peace, Sonny, you know what I'm saying, another, you know, guy out of Florida, I'm out of Desire, with their Desire, you know what I'm saying? But I remember meeting him as a young kid, you know what I'm saying? Very talented, and oh yeah, we got in the studio and we got it in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a very talented dude, but he got that New Orleans flavor to him and everything, but he got his own set style too, like he ain't trying to sound like nobody, you know what I mean? And,
Most definitely, you know what I'm saying? He like I said, if you ever get a chance to check out the old YG, that was representation when we first brought them in the game. You know, most of the guys are dead now, you know what I'm saying? Like just Dirt and Newton, still living Newton, which was on Camouflage Down and Roll It Up.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a fire too.
Yeah. So that was the YGs was, you know, Newton, Dirt, Soul, Key, Sinister, which he was doing a track, and Newton, Dirt, Key, Soul, I'm leaving somebody, Sinister. Yeah, that was everybody.
I'm definitely peep that, man. I rock with it. Everything that you touched, man, the Belly Boys, the Fila Phil, Sack Mafia, Rock to Survive. Like I've been rocking with you a long time, man. Long time. So this, you know, this interview here, man, this means a little something to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just ain't some rapper to me, bro. Like, you're a legend to me, man. And like, this definitely means a lot to me, man. And you know, one thing I always appreciated for you, man, about you was how much you really put on for the city. And you always rep New Orleans to the fullest. But you had so many joints that just became classic, like G's and Soldiers. And, man, the joints you did, like the Grave Fillers with Low-Key, I love that shit, man. Like, I still listen to that shit like it's new. Like, those are like anthems to me. Like, I love them joints, dude. The Jesus Soldiers EP, I think that's a top five New Orleans project of all time, in my opinion. I just think that it's just an EP, but every joint on there is just so dope. And anybody that listens to New Orleans music, you can throw on any of those tracks and instantly everybody knows them. You know what I'm saying? How much of an impact did that have on New Orleans when that dropped? Ella, you there?
Oh, yeah, hold on. I got a call. He got to bring him back. T-Max even got dropped. Long Talk got to get it together, man. T-Max, you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hold on, I'm going to bring him back on.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, you back, man.
Oh, sorry about that, Joe. We lost you.
Yeah,
y'all back.
No problem.
Yeah, and sometimes the servers, they go down, man. They disconnect us and everything, man. But I was just giving you props for the G's and Soldiers EP, and I just asked you, like, when that dropped, like, how much of an impact did it have in New Orleans when it first dropped? And did you know that you just dropped a classic? Like, did you understand that at the time that would be an EP that would become synonymous with New Orleans rap? Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you think New Orleans, you think of that project. Did you know that at the time? Did you feel that? Did you have something special with that EP?
I mean, when I was that EP, when the solo, you know what I'm saying? Because we was actually working on it. I was working on the group project. The Sack Mafia, we was working on the group project. At that time, it was, you know, it was me, Juvenile, and like three more of our other little partners. We kind of came together and came up with a little group thing because we was all working on a solo project at the time. And, so, you know, we were just in that working, and actually, I didn't even get to the Jesus Soldier song at the time, but I pretty much had everything else, you know what I'm saying? And we was, while Wayne had let us perform somewhere. And, you know, Juvie really had a name at the time, you know what I'm saying? But it had been a while, you know what I'm saying? From when he dropped the box from the Juvenile to the Juvenile that, you know today. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, Wayne let us perform at Mr. B's and shit, and the motherfucker had, it was nice, you know what I'm saying? So we was like, yeah, we about to go in. And so when I wrote that joint, when I started writing it, one of my lapartas, a couple of my lapartas came through, they was about to go to the club, and I had to, like, started on the first verse or whatever. And just was playing with it, and it's to a little beat I had made. At the time, I had made a little beat or whatever, and was just writing it. And one of my little dudes came through, Cole Jules, one of my brothers. You know, that's kind of, you know, we put the YGs together. But making a long story short, he came through and he heard the first verse. He was like, "Ooh, that bitch flaming," you know what I'm saying? He was like. And we were supposed to be going out, but he was like, "No, bitch, you ain't coming in the club tonight. You got to finish that." You feel me? Like, then when we come back, you know, hey, that bitch finished. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like that. So by the time I finished it, you know what I'm saying? I, like, you know, went in that day. I kind of cut up on it and, you know, just kept writing. And then, yeah, you know, everybody who ever heard it was like, damn, run that bitch again, run it again, run it again. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's a different reaction that you would get from, you know, anybody on the street when you running something. They're like, yeah, run that, ooh, that'd be fire, run that bitch again, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know.
It's one of them records, though, man. It's like, it's, I don't want to say simple as in not, like, complex or anything like that, but it's something that everybody can sing along with it. So, like, the people that don't really, like, aren't in it for the lyrics, they can rock with it. But then when people hear the verses, they're like, "Oh, that shit hard!" Like, so it's a perfect joint for all the crowds to listen to. You know what I'm saying? So, like, everybody can rock with that record. Now, I'm sure you've been asked this before.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a rumor for a long time that was kind of an answer
to California Love when Tupac said the line about the bellies. You felt that that was a shot at New Orleans. Now, is there any truth to that?
There is truth to that. There is. There's plenty of truth to it. You know, it was never no disrespect to Pac because, you know, Pac did what he did. Or, you know what I'm saying? But I did take that personal because when he was like, Dallas, I didn't even take it that he was talking to New York, like, you know, because that's how we was. And our, you know, that was our style and that's how we lived or whatever. So when he was like, Cali, we wear ballads. We wear Chucks, not ballads. I was like, hold up. Now, just, you know. So I had to display that, like, the difference. Because, you know, first of all, you know, California had a big influence at the time of the music. You know what I'm saying? So.
At that time, your region, your area, and everything was, like, everything was very territorial back then. So if you feel like someone's taking a shot at where you're from, you had to at that time. You had to stand up for where you're from just because of how territorial everything was. You know,
but it wasn't taking a shot, but just like distinguishing. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't really no shot at Cali. It was just like let them know, like, all right, you know, that's, you know, this how we come, this how y'all come. You know, no disrespect, but this how we rock. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like goddamn right, we rock valleys down here, man. Goddamn right,
so,
we do. You know what I mean? Like, what? There wasn't no shots. There wasn't no, like, disrespect to them or anything
Talk about blowing Cali up. Right. And I'm saying, like, at that time, you know, like, California dudes was having, an impact in New Orleans, too, because it was like a little war going on in New Orleans mainly on the West Bank. You know what I'm saying? Against the California boys and all that type of shit used to be going on, too, like, locally. So California had what it is, you know what I'm saying? We raised off colors and shit like that, you know, watching movies like that. So, you know, Spice One and, you know, Tupac and, you know, these niggas had a real influence on us. NWA, you know, it's a lineup. Ice-T, you know what I'm saying? So there's no thing that they, you know, California had a effect on us, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, as time progressed, we had to grasp our own identity is what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you get the respect you deserve for creating that identity?
I think it get undermined, you know, because
I only ask you that because, like, personally, I give you that credit, and this isn't because I'm on the phone with you, man. Like, I can pull up Facebook posts from years ago of me saying New Orleans wasn't just, you know, Cash Money, No Limit by any means. Those were more, I mean, Cash Money was a New Orleans, like a homegrown product. A lot of those dudes definitely had an impact on the sound of New Orleans, don't get me wrong at all. But there's plenty of other artists outside of those labels that really helped define the New Orleans sound. And I always mention your name because you had your own style, like what you were about, that you saw other artists, you saw that in other artists that they got from you. And I feel like that you deserve to be in that conversation with the Soulja Slims and, you know, UNLV and, you know, a lot of different guys. I mean, G Slim,
most definitely.
Yeah. I feel G Slim doesn't get the credit he deserves, and same with Kilo G, and even Pimp Daddy too. I want to throw him in there, but there's a lot of artists that you definitely, you know, like I said, I'm not saying that to you on the phone, right? I've always given you that credit. That's why I wanted to interview you, because I wanted to let you know that there is us out there that appreciate what you laid down, man, because you're part of that foundation that transition from bounce to what we know the late 90s to be. You
most definitely
were definitely involved with that transition.
And you know, to answer your question, like, at the moment, at the time, I didn't know what I had when I was writing it. you know, I felt, you know, I felt the movement where it was going. You know what I'm saying? I could feel where it was going at, but I didn't know. It was happening fast. Mm-hmm. At the time, just off that song, because that song had just changed everything. I think the guys, all right, we was having a meeting with, we were supposed to meet with Cash Money, Hyping Up. It was a lot of little local little artists, little local little record labels we was going to meet with as a group. And we end up doing solo individuals. That's how Doobie signed with Cash Money. I started fucking with Tombstone. It was all at the damn at the same time. You know what I'm saying? But we were still kind of working together, individually, collectively, but individually. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
he shouted y'all out, the Sack Mafia. He shouted Sack Mafia out in the joint with Bun B and BG. He's like, down
exactly,
Sack Mafia,
you know,
juvenile for life. Yeah, he said
exactly.
At the end of his verse. He said that.
Exactly. I mean, and actually, BG was supposed to be on Camouflage Down at the time. You know what I'm saying? Because Man of Fresh did Jesus Sold the Track. You know what I'm saying? I had to do. He did the final track.
Oh, wow.
The final track. Man of Fresh did the final track. But I had did a track for then my partner, Merrill. Merrill kind of, you know, I always did beat, but Merrill kind of gave me the sequence of how to do shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, you know, Merrill, GPU, the real rock or whatever, you know. Well, that's who kind of gave me a sequence of doing beats or whatever. He did a beat for it, too. And then when he did a beat for it, I performed it first time ever, but I was in Morgan City. I wasn't even in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? Like, first time I performed it in front of a crowd on a beat or whatever, and not even the beat that everybody knew it for. It was fucking crazy, because by the time I got to the hook the second time, everybody in the crowd was singing the motherfucker, and they had never heard it before.
Oh, man.
It was like, what the fuck? This was crazy, because I had never, actually, at the time, I had never performed solo as an individual, because, you know, Rudder Survive was the group I had, kicked in with, you know what I'm saying, my partner Charlie Hanson, that was my dog. He was part of the Rudder Survives group. So I had never really performed solo, and then when that shit happened, it was like, what the fuck? So the guy who, you know, Tombstone, which was my boy Jay, who was from Full Pack, which is who GBU come from, Full Pack. Full Pack produced some tracks on our Rudder Survive project or whatever. And Jay, one of their members, had asked me to write some songs for him or whatever. And I wrote a few songs for them or whatever. I don't really remember how that project turned out. But later on, he was working with Tombstone, running Tombstone Records at the time. So that was like an easy process, you know what I'm saying? So once we did that concert, we did a concert or whatever, and they seen how that concert turned out again, because I was opening up for Cheeky in Partners in Crime. They was really, you know, had that work at the moment, you know what I'm saying? Cheeky Black was definitely, you know what I'm saying? Because that twerk stuff was like, that was everywhere, you know what I'm saying?
That's
the worst. And that song, that particular song.
What's
going
on?
What's going on, man? It's the T-Mac. I was just soaking up all the game. I'm just absorbing and soaking up the game that all y'all was talking, man. I mean, one thing about it, and Cat and King will attest to this as well as myself, New Orleans has always had that reputation of being that. It's just something different about how y'all do it out there, you know, especially when you have, you know, places like, you know, like you said, Desire, you know, Florida, you know, Fletcher Dev, you know, Lower Ninth, you know, Calio.
Right.
You know, y'all just, I mean, of course, and I mean, just the legends. I mean, of course, you got, you know, Jay Electronica coming out of there. You know, Carry On J. Key is from the new generation. What is it like just to see from what you all laid down in such grand and legendary fashion and seeing the next generation carry the torch for y'all out there?
Man, it's really an amazing sight to see, you know what I'm saying? Even to see what it grows, even when I see that I may not get mentioned in most things or whatever, but just to see the groundwork and see how the sound has grown, you know what I'm saying, and how it has evolved from one thing to another thing, you know what I'm saying? And not only just to another thing, but the world, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got people in the world that be saying stuff they might not even know that I had a part of doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be like, listen to that. And the hot boy, and what the boy name is? Young Thug or whatever. With the gun and with the with all that in the song. I'm like, man, that's even the hot boys used it, but it came off my shit first. You know what I'm saying? Off the fucking... ski mask week, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, yeah, like,
that's what's dope, though. That you, like, people that really know the New Orleans rappers, we know, like, when we see Lil Wayne doing some big, you know, the Grammys or some big festival or whatever, like, we understand that that's you know, that's L.O.G. on stage. That's Soulja Slim on stage. Like,
exactly.
You know, without a doubt, Lil Wayne was influenced by you guys. But everybody kind of seemed like they were influenced by each other, too. You know what I'm saying? But, like, there's a few of you guys that transition from bounce to, like, the gangster rap era. You know what I mean? There's a few of you that really laid it down and really made it a smoother transition for everybody else. And I think that you, Slim, and Juvie, I have to give that to Juvie, and even BG, but I really feel like you guys really did a great job of being who you were and being able to make that transition to the music that everybody knows and loves, the Cash Money, the No Limits. You guys made it easier for those labels to succeed with their styles because of how you guys laid it down. You guys kind of laid the blueprint down. You know what I mean?
I
wanted to tell you that to your face, man, well, on the phone, but I wanted to tell you that, like, I give you that recognition, and I respect you as a pioneer and a legend. Like, you know, that means a lot to me to tell you that, just so you know. Like, I've been listening to you, man, since I was 8-9 years old, something like that. Like, I had a brother that was 4 years older than me, so everything I fucked with,
right,
like, I was a little young. You know what I'm saying? But
right,
I listened to you a long time, man. I had, like, this New Orleans tape when I was a kid, man. I was probably in, like, third grade, and it had, like, he was on it, Sporty T was on it,
right,
Al Capone.
No, remember,
the Ninja Crew was on. Remember the Ninja Crew?
Hell yeah, man. Do I?
Was,
you
on,
know what I'm saying? Oh, that's part of the, you know, that's part of the fucking, the, you know, the stepping stones, you know what I'm saying? The forefathers of the sound, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know, man, it's breakfast part of the Ninja Crew as well as a part of Gregory D, you know what I'm saying? That's he that.
Yeah,
man.
Hell yeah.
One of them pillows, you know what I'm saying?
Jacko was on this tape, and Calhoun. There was a lot of New Orleans people on there, man. That I just kind of, over the years, I lost touch with what they're up to. And the Ninja Crew, though, I'm glad you know who that is, man. That's dope. I asked somebody else, but they're like, I don't know who that is. Like, oh, man, that's old school New Orleans right there, man. But I love that shit. And, like, I still remember that tape I had, though, man. Like, it was a homemade tape that, like Weed Fiend by Low Key and Slim.
Uh-huh.
That and Get the Gat was on there like three times on that tape.
every couple songs, like, they would play that shit on there. But, I mean, that tape was, like, my introduction, and I was hooked, man, because, you know, I was young. I was still, you know, I rocked with, you know, like, dudes from, like, Detroit, like, Awesome Dre, and then I rocked with Cole G Rap. Those are, like, my first, like, favorite rappers. But then when I got that tape, man, that changed my life, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that
man.
My life. Yeah, I remember, like, I still remember the writing on the tape that said Low Key, Magnolia Slim, L-O-G. But see, the L-O-G wasn't with the period, so I always thought the name was Log.
Log.
I was a little ass kid, yeah. Though. You know what I mean? I was a little kid. I ain't gonna
right.
get it. And then, like, no,
like,
yeah,
they
got older.
I was like, we can't. You got
to
call you Log, man.
Man, like, it never offended me. You heard me? I love it. You heard me?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about when I was 9 years old, man. You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah, most definitely.
I got older and shit, and music became more. I actually understood what the lyrics meant and all that. I actually found that tape and went back to it, man. So I started to dig into everybody a little more. And that's when I, like, really discovered his music and got, you know, I was familiar with him in my early teens, and I held you down that whole time, man. I tried to rock with you forever, man. Like, because like I said, man, you got some classic joints, man. That's some shit. People
man, I appreciate
you,
it, man.
By you, and I know every word of that motherfucker, you know what I mean?
I appreciate him, man. That's a whole movie, man. I'm and that you're saying that, you know, I'm I got a Zoo 2 that's gonna be releasing sometime soon, maybe like maybe a week or two or something like that. A Zoo 2, some fire, some crack that been sitting in the archive too long. I had to release it.
When's that coming? In like a week.
Probably
or
another week or two. Yeah. Probably be even sooner than that, but I'm just saying, just give me a week or two. It'll be available.
Man, make sure I see that, man. You can tag me on Instagram with my DMs. Just make sure I see that. You know, I'll share the hell out of that. I'll be bumping that for a month straight, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to pump that. I'm going to get it to you.
I hate to put you on the spot, man. I hate to put you on the spot, but I got to do this to you. Top five New Orleans that are alive all time.
Top five days of damn, man. They got some fucking hounds, bro.
It's a hard one. There's like 50 dudes that are top five worthy. You know what I mean? I got to put
literally, bro. I'm telling you some real shit, bro. They got some dudes that they hounds with it. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm going to get, you know, Slim his crown. You heard me?
Yeah.
Damn, I damn that one just get to all the ones who not here. Shit, you hear me? Shit.
Yeah.
My nigga Keith, he was a hound. So these dudes literally was hounds. Shit, Pimp Daddy was crucial with it. Yellow Boy.
Yeah.
That nigga was in a land of his own. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, shit, man. There's so many of them.
Me and Levy.
And there's a bunch of them that's alive. You know what I'm saying? I'm just thinking of some niggas that just ain't who ain't here and they just left an imprint.
Me and Levy was talking last night about Yellow Boy and Little Derek from the Hot Boys.
Man,
how hard Little Derek was. Like, how talented he was. Like,
Lil Derek was a hound, bro. These little dudes was like, literally like, man, I can't even describe it. Like, just hearing these dudes just bring some energy. Like, you wonder where they just get it from. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's like a possession of something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Especially
y'all. I can make a top 50 list, and number 50 sounds just as good as number 3 and 2 and 1. You know what I mean?
That's
like
crazy, bro. These dudes is like hella talented, bro. But you know what I'm saying? Like, and like yellow talent.
New
his
Orleans
talent
compilation.
Is really
look at that compilation, bro. Like the talent you got on that, on the New Orleans joint. It's crazy, man. It's like you was running out of songs, man. Like, or you know, you ran out of room on that motherfucker because you was trying to put so many people on because there's so much talent down there, man. Like,
There's so many talented dudes, bro, that I even hear, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would put all these dudes in my top five, son. They all had this some type of motivation, movement, you know what I'm saying? Move me some type of way, you know what I'm saying? With style, charisma, lyric, all that, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
This dude, Derek, was impressive. Every time you seen him, he was spitting balls like burning your ears. Like, what the fuck? This dude was really, yeah.
I said last night, like, if he wouldn't have got killed, and the world would have got a chance to hear him, and he could have put together more of a body of work, there's an argument to be made that he might have been the best rapper out of the Hot Boys. Like,
man,
that's hard. It's hard to say that, but I mean,
Wayne was, you know what I'm saying? Wayne was always raw talent too from the beginning too. But
yeah.
I think he would have gave Wayne a run for his money. I think by any given day, because Wayne to me was like a fun, so he was sucking up anything. You know what I'm saying? So he would have outlasted Derek. You know what I'm saying? I think the age would have made a difference. They just would have been sharpening each other up. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
It would have been something else.
Hey, listen, I want everybody to understand this about Lil Wayne real quick. Lil Wayne, I don't care if you don't like his music, whatever. I don't care what your opinion on his music. I want you to understand how talented Lil Wayne was. Lil Wayne, like, people asked him why there was such a difference between his albums and his mixtapes. He said because coming up under Baby, Baby is Magnolia, New Orleans like a motherfucker. You rap a certain way. You use certain words. You have a certain style when you're rapping
right.
for Baby. So
he's keeping the root. He's trying to keep the root.
Yeah, so his albums were like he was trying to be New Orleans with it. But meanwhile, he was in his room listening to Jay-Z and Missy Elliott and Outkast.
Everything,
the fact that this dude could put out quality music, trying to be New Orleans as he can be. Meanwhile, in his head, he got all this other incredible shit that was, like, effortless to him. And, like, it was so powerful that there's actually a bunch of people out there that just say, oh, I like mixtape Wayne. I don't like, you know, Carter Wayne or Young Money Wayne. I like mixtape Wayne. That's how talented Lil Wayne is. So I don't anybody that has anything else to say about him, you're just simply wrong. It's okay if you don't like his music, but to say that boy is talented is just that's not an opinion.
Yeah.
You're just wrong. Like it's a fact that dude is talented. And
definitely.
He was so young doing that. Like he was that brilliant that young, and there's no shock that here we are in 2022 and that dude can still drop a chart-topping album. That's not a shock. There's a reason for that.
Well, I mean, he is hip-hop, you know. That's he really walking hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? This dude was young, very young, raised in this, and, you know, Baby was brilliant just to even give him the opportunity.
But
nobody
To keep him out of trouble and to know that he had something special, like he knew what he had, and like he released that fire on the world at the right time, man. You know what I mean? Everybody was saying, "Oh, Cash Money dead, Doobie left, DZ left, Turkson dead. It's over for the Hot Boys. It's over for Cash Money." And then, bam, the Carter drops. And you're like, who the fuck is this? You know what I mean? It, like, it blew your mind because it was such a transformation from what he was. And it was like, oh, shit, because he came out of nowhere with that. And, like, when he spit that verse on that Beyonce T.I. joint, that I'm a soldier or whatever, I'm like,
That was the eye opener.
Damn, those people were like, damn, I didn't know he could rap like that. And then out of nowhere, the Carter comes, and it was like, damn, and like the whole world got to see really what Wayne is really about. You know what I mean?
Right. I can remember some of that around that time when MySpace was starting to pop up and shit. And I had put some of them old bangers up off the Jesus Those and shit. And I can remember my female like, oh, that sounds like Lil Wayne. And I'm like, okay, that says a lot, then, you know what I'm saying? Because this is old, you know what I'm saying? This is ancient old artifacts.
Yeah.
That I was playing for, you know what I'm saying? During my space time, you know what I'm saying? I'm playing Jesus Tony shit for her. She was like, that sounds like Lil Wayne. Like, you know, this was Wayne and, you know, no hot boys, but Wayne just doing his thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's super impressive that group has, like, had multiple legacies. Like, there's Hot Boy Wayne, there's Mixtape Wayne, there's Carter Wayne, there's like the Drake, Nicki Minaj
Wayne. Yeah, there's different
Wayne.
Iterations. There's different that's iterations
five.
Of Wayne
different
in terms
Wayne.
Of what
that's
it is.
Five. Yeah,
yeah,
that's generation. Yeah, man. I'm watching TV and I see Chris Brown or somebody was talking, they were like, when Wayne hit the stage, we all run from backstage to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was raised off of Wayne. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, Wayne put the work in.
Hey, let me ask,
put
let
some
you
work in.
Guys, question here. Let me ask y'all this: you guys think anybody could see Wayne in the verses?
I think his library is so ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't think nobody could really see him in verses, but I don't think so. I saw some people trying to say he ain't had nothing, and I saw some people was trying to clarify, like, he ain't had. I'm like, man, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Wayne was all over everybody's shit. All he got to do is run. Verses is about bangers. That's it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not just bangers, though, because it's really the ones that's not the bangers that catch the people's attention that you can run.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
the radio shit only can get you so far.
And what Versus
is
20
like
songs.
Dated, on the dates. Like radio is, they like kind of like dated. It all depends on the time and era. Like even with Fireman,
yeah, look,
I think
like,
Fireman was kind of like...
One thing that people get lost in is they look like, oh, this dude got 40 hits, this dude got 60 hits. All that's irrelevant. What a Versus is 20 songs. So you pick your best 20 and how potent those are, and I really think that it goes on what people, you know, it doesn't matter how many joints
bangers
you
had on the time and the number one charts you had.
Yeah, it don't really matter how much you sold, it's the potency of your record. So, if anybody could be playing, there's not that many names that you can really say that could. I mean, there's arguments to be made. Like, you could say Jay. But, really, it depends on the crowd. I mean, you know, because there's definitely a crowd out there that would think that Jay's songs are better or they like Jay's more. But there's also a lot of people that would react differently and react more to the Wayne song. So, like, it's a hard one, but, I mean, Wayne's definitely in that short conversation of the people that not too many people can see. You know what I mean? Like, he's definitely on that
he's
short
most
list.
Definitely, he's one of them, he is one of those, we see his impact, we see it. It's no fucking secret about it, you know what I'm saying? We know what he could do. We just seen what he have done, you know what I'm saying? We know what he's capable of doing. We see the impact.
Mm-hmm.
All the littles out of here, all the fucking auto-tuners or whatever, all of this shit, you feel me?
And he's Wayne Kidd. He's one of the few rappers that transcended hip-hop. Like, there's people that don't listen to rap that listen to Lil Wayne.
Right.
Yeah.
He transformed hip-hop. Like, literally, he did. There's no way around it. You can't even deny it. You know what I'm saying?
There's a small list of people that are able to do that, be so diverse and so impactful that, you know... 16-year-old white girls did listen to country music like Lil Wayne. You know what I mean? Like, he, you know, he's done that. There's people that listen to punk rock that don't listen to rap music at all. They don't know anything about rap music. But they know Lil Wayne. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
On a very short list of people that are able to do that, you know, he's up there with, you know, there's only a couple guys that you could say are like the Beatles of hip-hop, like to where when you think hip-hop, you think their name. And it's not what hip-hop heads think. It's beyond that. It's when you ask, you know, like a corny-ass dude that listens to alternative rock and listens to just what's on the radio. Those are kind of the opinions that matter the most because that's the impact part of it. Of course, us hip-hop heads, we all have our opinions and, you know, we know what we're talking about and we always go for our favorites. But it's kind of the guys that don't really know anything about rap music, they're the ones that kind of count because that shows you the impact of the artist. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
correct. You are very correct. You are fucking...
If I'm like an East Coast hip-hop head, like, of course, I'm a ride and die with Jay-Z. I'm like, no, it's Jay, it's Jay, it's Jay. But, like, I mean, that's all... Within the hip-hop community, you're just going to keep running into those arguments where people are just arguing for their favorite. It's really about the people that don't really know all that shit. They don't fucking know what the Hot Boys are. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't know what that means.
You know, like, you know, and I'm not just saying this because Wayne from there, but, you know, Jay did what he do, you know what I'm saying? Like, as far as being consistent and what he do is holding down New York in that flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But he didn't do nothing in that impact hip hop. You understand what I'm saying? Like, but being consistent. You feel me?
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. He didn't really do nothing that impact. All right, maybe when they went from the button down shirts, maybe. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna say that. Maybe that. But, you know what I'm saying? Rockwell, that collecting is between him.
Like within hip hop, he might have. But I know what you're saying. You're saying that Wayne made an impact on hip hop for the rest of the world to see. Like,
definitely.
Things,
exactly.
Yeah, I can say, like, oh man, he gave us The Rock and, you know, he changed the game for this and he did this. That, like, that's a within hip hop thing, but you're talking about, hip hop was changed by Wayne for the world, what they see hip hop as.
Man, and all your typing. All your hottest artists want to be Wayne some type of way. You know what I'm saying? Like, whoever right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, they might look at Jay for the king of hip-hop for, again, being consistent and holding his spot and not looking like he ever fell off or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's why he looked like the king. You know what I'm saying? But
man, they got it on the twist. Yeah, she's trying to be like Wayne, all the way down to the way he talks, to the way he got his chat, to the way he dressed.
His impact did a whole lot.
I mean, and let's be honest, though. Both Lil Wayne and Jay-Z should feel like nobody can fuck with them, and they've both earned that right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, most definitely.
If you're Jay-Z, of course, like, why wouldn't you feel like you're the best? I mean, the dude definitely put together a resume to feel that way. He has the right to feel that way. And Lil Wayne definitely does too. Like, we're really comparing two of the greatest ever. And like,
hip-hop would be trash
if we didn't have that. You know what I mean? If you take either one of them away from hip-hop, it would hurt bad. You know what I mean? Both of them are great. They're both Hall of Famers a million times over. You know?
And I'm loving this bill, man. But we about to wind up hour one down, man. I'm loving this bill between y'all, man. You definitely welcome to come back on in the near future, man.
I want to give LOG a second to go ahead and plug and promote anything you want to plug real quick. Dirt Zire is actually about to come on. If you want to stay on for a couple minutes and say what's up to him, that's fine. But
most definitely,
I
most definitely say Say love to my little brother Yerman. But yeah, I'm gonna let y'all know he about the Zoo 2 coming. You feel me? Y'all make sure y'all stream that Jesus Soldiers. Y'all stream that Zoo 1, the Zoo Orleans or whatever. You feel me? The Camouflage Down. I'm gonna have the Living Off Game back up there. Matter of fact, I got a Zoo 1.5. I guess, you know what I'm saying? I remixed a couple of joints on that, did all the tracks on it. I want to plug my little nephew, Yog, Aso, OGE, not coming, you feel me? I produce some tracks on this shit, you hear me? Jay Alton, yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's a bunch of brothers I've been working with, you know what I'm saying? Marauder Gang Row, you know what I'm saying? These little brothers I've been doing tracks with, been producing some tracks on. Fucking L.A. Earhart, my little cuz, you know what I'm saying? Quee. There's a bunch of them, you know what I'm saying? There's so many of them I can't even name, you know what I'm saying? I just want to get some shots out to the city, you heard me? Even H-Town been holding me down, our chair, all the shit that's been holding us down since we've been scattered at about, you know what I'm saying? Shit, you know what I'm saying? Especially the music, you know what I'm saying? They got a lot of music coming from the city, man. Y'all keep supporting the city, you know what I'm saying? The fucking Camo, you heard me? The Camo City, you heard me?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we got Desire on the line right now. Welcome to Desire. What's up, baby? One of the most talented dudes right here. You heard me? This dude here is crafty. You heard me? Yes, indeed, you heard me. I remember
you know that I started from you. If you wouldn't ever come out and get that shit together and rap on a beat, you know?
Hey, son, you got that shit mastered already. You heard me, dude. I was thinking.
You put me on the track, you couldn't get it mastered, too.
Most definitely, you heard me.
You
know, I love you, dude. No, I love
you, champ.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It was truly an honor to have you on the show, man. And it means a lot to me to be able to tell you how much I respect you and what a legend you are to me. And I thank you for everything you've done for New Orleans hip hop in general. And well, man, as long as I got a platform, that platform's yours, man. You're welcome back anytime. And I appreciate you, man. I'm just glad,
man,
I got the
I
opportunity.
We all
do. Thank you.
Man, I appreciate that too, man. We appreciate the love y'all give our city, man. You know what I'm saying? Thanks. Help us put it back on the map. You heard me? We got a lot of little youngsters out here, you know what I'm saying, who trying to keep the wave going. You know what I'm saying? So talented, nicely talented little brothers. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we trying to do, just keep the wave going. Good music, positive energy. You know what I'm saying? And just live life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Welcome back anytime, man. Thank you very much, man. LG, everybody.
All right, yeah, man. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Thank you. You too. Be safe.
Let's welcome on.
All right, babe. All right, babe. I want to talk to you, dude.
All right,
welcome
champ.
On Dirt Side.
Yes, Lord. I'm right here. I want to.
Oh, yeah, too. We're on right now. My man, Dirtzai. What's good, Dirtzai? How you doing, man?
Oh, man, everything all right. First of all, I would like to thank, you know, you guys, Off the Cuff Radio, for extending your platform, you know, even helping me, you know?
No question, man. Now, look, man, I actually first heard of you. I just told LOG this. I actually first heard of you because of him. And,
Right.
I liked your verse on the joint you did with him, the Gorilla Grubbin, and your name stuck out to me because, like, I'm from Pittsburgh, but I grew up on New Orleans shit, so your name just made me think, like, oh, he's probably from Desire, you know what I'm saying, probably from the Desire Project, so I'm going to check him out.
Yeah.
And, man, for real, that 9 album, Never More Negative Energy, I heard that, man.
It's a classic.
Oh, shit. Man, I couldn't stop listening to it. And then I would make, like, playlists to just try to get away from it, man, because I'd be, like, walking through stores and shit, like,
singing that shit in my head, and like I couldn't get it out of my head. And I'd be making random playlists, and I'd have to like, oh, but I gotta throw this joint on there. Before you know it, like half the album was on every playlist I got. And I'm like, man, I gotta reach out to this dude, man.
And, I appreciate it, man.
You told me earlier today that you're gonna have Nine Part Two. So I was asking, are you gonna maybe make that like the like your signature album? How huh? Like, you know, Wayne got the Carter, Jay got the Blueprint.
Yeah, and indeed, never ignore negative energy. That's my thing, you know, just represent the nine, but also represent something positive at the same time, you know, not ignoring that negative energy because it could cause you.
Hey, that's great, man. That's great. And I told my co-host here tonight, by the way, that King Eric is the host. That's our co-host, T-Max, is on the line as well. And
I wanted to be on the show.
Like I had Magnolia Levy on last night. I had LOD on earlier because I've known those guys for a long time, and I just wanted to give them the chance to tell their story and just show them the love and respect. But I wanted to have you on because I want to learn more about you as well, man. Like to me, you know, I don't know as much about you as I do those guys. But, I mean, bro, you're dope, man. Like, it's very seldom with so many fish in the sea nowadays, man. Like, I wanted to ask you that. As an artist, we know that there's so many clowns out there that just have a record button, and all of a sudden they're a rapper. So, as an artist, how hard is it to navigate your way to let people know that you're not just some clown with a record button, that you're a true artist in every sense of the word? Is that a struggle to get your music heard? So, and like, how do you stand out from the rest of the fish in the sea and to let people know that you're a real artist?
I think I stand out because my music is a testimony, as you see from the title of my first album, Never Ignore Negative Energy. All of my music is more personal to me. I don't really just make music like, you know, that you'll hear just come on in the club and everybody start dancing. That's not my vibe. Mm-hmm. My vibe more is personal. I like to tell the truth.
You
know, I tell the truth as much as I can without being incriminating, you know?
Yeah, I think that you have a very great talent in you capture the New Orleans. Like, I can tell you're from New Orleans when I listen to you, but you don't sound like anybody else. You have your own sound, but you also sound New Orleans at the same time, but you have your own sound, and I can't really think of anybody to compare you to. You kind of stand on your own style, so I am interested to know, like, who were your influences? Who did you grow up? Like, who made you want to rap?
Well, I grew up initially listening to only local New Orleans music. I never listened to anything outside of New Orleans, you know, growing up. But in my teenage years, I was introduced to Nas. Nas is my favorite rapper. So I was introduced to Nas, Jay-Z, and, you know, more East Coast music and music from the West Coast and things like that. So that gave me an opportunity to, you know, expand my vocabulary and start rhyming in a different way, but I always had my accent and my New Orleans slang. Those are thrown in there, but the way I rhyme is more, you know, not New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah, like, if it wasn't for your accent, it'd be hard to pin down where exactly you're from, like, with your style, because you have this unique sound to you, man. That like I said, man, when I listen to that Nine album, man, like, I mean, that's how I know it's a great album, because, like, I can't even really, like, I can't describe what it, like, really, like, why I'm stuck on it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just something you got, like, I can't just show somebody a song and be like, yo, isn't this hard? Like, it's one of those albums that, like, it's kind of just like one long track. You know what I mean? Like, it's like
that's
one
it.
Long song.
And
it's like
it
a
was
whole.
Like, really, it was wrote in that. Like, at the time, I was living out in Atlanta then. So I was away from the city and I was away from everybody and I was able to just focus. And at that time while I'm working on this project, it's just, you know, I'm doing song after song after song after song. So it was just a whole vibe that I was in. You know, it wasn't like I done a song this time, then I went back and done a song. No, when I went in the studio, I was knocking out 4 to 5 songs every studio session, you know. The album didn't even take that long to get recorded. You know, because it was all put together before. It was a whole vibe I took with me from where I was writing it at and brought to the studio. The whole vibe, not song per song, the vibe, the whole vibe, and put it into an album.
Yeah. And I can tell that by listening to it because each song is kind of made better by the song before it and the song after it. You know what I'm saying? And like, I don't even really know what my favorite joint off of it is because, like, I kind of just press play on that motherfucker and let it play. Cause like,
my favorite joint is Illuminate.
I was about to say, that's probably my favorite joint off of I had to pick one. But
yeah, that's like my favorite joint.
That whole album, it just flows so dope. And like I said, it's hard to just like send somebody a track and be like, check this out. It's more or less like, yo, when you get a minute, you're alone and you're actually going to listen to music, like listen to this shit. And it just,
see, that's the motto of Project Music. Project Music is my own record company that I own. And the motto of Project Music is, in order to understand Project Music, you have to listen. This ain't music you could just bump, you know, like, this ain't that. You gotta be in that mood. You gotta feel that vibe that I was putting out. And it ain't the vibe that you could just hit and miss with it. You gotta sit down, listen to it. Man, you heard what he said? Like, you gotta listen to it. Get into it.
Yeah, it definitely, it's vibe music for sure. It's shit to think to, and it puts you in a state of mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just like, oh, this shit's hard. Like, it is hard, but I'm just saying, like, it has its own energy to it. You know what I'm saying? And it's a great project. Plan on making that the cornerstone of your career and building off that and coming out with a part two and a part three and all that, I think that's an excellent move because you got something special with that album, man. And I hope you reap the benefits from
this,
that.
I ain't mean to cut you off, but I don't know if he did this a while ago, but that track, A Moment, is very deep, man. I like
A moment is my latest single that's out right now. A Moment is the latest single. A moment is just special because, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but I was shot 9 times here in New Orleans. You know, because of it, my left hand is amputated. So, you know, and just going through a lot and dealing with that and trying to recover from that. At one point, you know, when I was in the hospital, I had the trach in my throat, so I couldn't talk and things, you know, not even knowing if I would be able to continue to rap. Like, all the damage that's done to my body, you know, my diaphragm and things. Like, you know, I didn't even know. So, the song...
Yeah, how long ago was that?
That was December 3rd, 2020. That was been a year now, you know? So I'm still in recovery as we speak. But the song A Moment was just captured. I just needed a moment, you know? I just need a moment away from everything to regroup, to, you know, get stronger and be able to come back.
Man, we're blessed to have you here, man, and I'm glad that you pulled through. And I hope that people listening to this show and listening to your music and everything, like, I want y'all to really know what you're putting out there and what you're saying. And, you know, it seems like in this age of social media, people don't really understand what reality is, man. People don't understand what you're really doing when you pull them triggers. And people don't know what they're saying sometimes. That is, like, dissing people's dead ops and shit. Like, man, you got to really know. Somebody will come back 15 years from now and kill you for that, you know? And
right.
you know, spraying a gun and all that shit. Like, you really know what you're doing, man. Do you really know what you're, you know, like, look, man, this is on a lower level, man. But I was telling my boy the other day, like, we didn't see each other a long time. Like, I went to prison for a long time. And I said, you know, the old me, I would steal on somebody over the smallest shit. And I said, man, there's this one dude, man, he just kept getting on my nerves and shit. And I was going to blast this dude. And I was like, you know what? I ain't even going to do that. And I saw him walking with his daughter the one day. And it just, like, hit me, like, man, if I went and beat this dude up, like, imagine what that little girl's going to look like. Her daddy got a black eye and shit. Like, how's she going to feel and all that? And I'm like, man, I'm glad I got to that point in my life, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because
one little mistake, man, like, I could hit somebody, they could fall and hit their head and die. Now what?
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, was the problem I had with them that serious? Nah, man. It's like,
right.
You know what?
You're
like, putting
things
like,
into perspective.
These triggers and shit.
Right.
Yeah,
you're
man.
Putting things into perspective. My situation was different. Like, my situation wasn't even me out here, you know, gang banging or banging or whatever. My situation was simply me giving a friend a ride and not knowing what he was involved in, you know. Someone is trying to kill him. He don't let me know, but ask me for a ride. I give him a ride, and someone pull inside the car and shoot the car.
Oh,
man. I get shot 9 times.
Man.
So something I wasn't had nothing to do with, wasn't even involved in type of situation. So, you know, with my situation.
Man, that's awful, man. I didn't know that, man. I'm sorry to hear that, man. I'm glad that we're
like,
talking
you
to you
videos,
now, man. And I'm good, you know, how's your recovery
you see
doing, man?
You
like,
see my hand. Oh well, right now, you know, I'm on the tail end of it. You know, I've been through most of everything that I had to go through as far as healing up and things. Which some things will never be, you know, back right. I have a kidney missing, my spleen missing, you know, I told you my hand missing. Like, I got shot 9 times with an AK-47, close range. Pull on side of the car.
Shit.
Yeah. 2 of them hit my wrist. That's how my hand get to be gone. They couldn't save my hand. But they saved my life,
man.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's
and
all
we,
that matters. You know?
Look,
like,
we're all the more richer
hand, you know?
For your life. We're all the more richer for your life being saved, being here with us to tell us that story. D, when you look at the game today, because we've always had a deep, deep, deep respect for down bottom, New Orleans, you know, Baton Rouge, everything y'all do down there. What do people really, really, really have to understand in terms of especially y'all area when shit goes south? How south can it really go, depending on who you're dealing with? Because I mean, we've heard the stories about what was going on at one time with Mystical and Yellow Boy, about what happened with Birdman and Yellow Boy allegedly, and just a lot of other situations. You know, one thing about it, we had a guest a couple years ago, OG Bezel. One of the funniest shows we ever did, because Bezel was giving us so much game, and he said, man, he's like, you say a name, somebody name on a record, or you get into it with somebody down there, you got to go see that man.
Yeah,
you know?
In New Orleans, how many, tell me this, since the Cash Money era and the Big Boy Beef era and the No Limit Beef, when the last time have you heard a rapper say another rapper name in New Orleans on this track? That says it all
right
there. You don't hear diss tracks coming out of New Orleans. You don't hear different ops and all that, because this is not music. This is real life in New Orleans.
Say it again.
The music is a reflection of real life. It's not made up songs, you know.
Right.
For myself and a lot of other artists in New Orleans, you know, a lot of people is, they raised off that. New Orleans have a lot of graveyards for a reason.
I mean, it's 2022, and we still hear about 1994 in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's still,
it's not like it's not like in 95 it stopped. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You know,
right now, the generation that's right out here right now, that's on the streets, in the gutter, in the streets, the trenches of New Orleans, they're still trying to reflect 1994 New Orleans. That's what they was raised on. That's the story. Not the
they wasn't raised off it, but that's the stories they was raised off.
Yeah.
So everybody crazy, want their own story. Everybody want their own story, so everybody trying to write their own story.
Word. That's crazy, man.
It is very dangerous to show.
Yeah. That's what I was saying, man. Like, I want people to understand, man, like, life ain't a fucking game, man. Like, people, it just seems like nowadays, yeah, man, it just seems like nowadays, like, it's who can be, like, the most heartless motherfucker out there. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's no roles anymore. And I just want people to know, man, like, in split seconds,
no one's the top
everything.
Dog anymore. No one's a top dog anymore. Everybody is at the table trying to get their scraps. You know how a lion is eating, but the hyenas and the wolves, they still try to run over there and come get some? That's how it is. No one is scared of the lion anymore. Everybody wants to eat. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants a piece. And everybody willing to do whatever it's going to take for their piece.
Today, you thought about the consequences a little bit. You knew, like, man, if I go and do this to this dude, then his people going back to my people. And go. Now the people don't even give a fuck, man. They just
nobody cares no more. Oh, you killed 100 people? Well, they feel like your 100 people going to transfer to them when they kill you.
Yeah, it's wild, man. And, you know,
That's just the mentality.
I'm glad that you told the story about what happened to you, man, because I hope people hear that story and just understand it. Like, there's nothing cool about that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't have to be involved for something to happen to you. Like,
yeah, exactly. And you're not acting like you're the king gangster because you got shot 9 times. Like, I bet you give everything to not that happen.
My life is a trophy. That's not a trophy to me getting shot. That's not a trophy to me.
No, yeah. No,
I don't represent it as a trophy. As you see, when you see visuals of me with my handgun, you also hear music speaking about, you know, something positive. But I'm acknowledging that this has happened to me, but I'm also trying to show someone else that's listening or looking at me and what I'm going through that this ain't what you want.
Man,
you know,
not at all.
You know how they say it's no fun when the rabbit gets the gun?
Exactly.
You could be out there with all the people you want, but when you have to lay in the hospital your own self from you suffering from the bullet wounds, now it's easy when you jump out with your partners and y'all shooting at somebody or shooting somebody, but when you have to lay on the ground so the ambulance can get you and go in the hospital and go through surgery, now that ain't the fun part. But see, no one tells you that side of the picture.
Yeah.
They just come out of the hospital like, look at me, how to learn how to walk again and all that. Yeah, I had to learn how to walk again, breathe again, drink water. I couldn't even drink water. They wouldn't let me drink water because I couldn't swallow. I was going crazy behind water. I never knew I loved water that much. I couldn't believe it. They just wanted to give me a sponge to keep my mouth wet. I didn't even want that. I want water.
You know what? One thing I think about it when we look at hip-hop in the recent years, we see a lot of people get out online on social media trying to talk, portray a certain image and everything. A lot of times from individuals who never really lived it, you were on the front lines and got caught up in an unfortunate situation. What do people really, you know, and we look at, because hip-hop is inherently a street culture because it came from the street. It has that, so it, you can't separate the two.
Right.
But what do a lot of these artists have to understand coming in terms of keeping their mind on making the music and trying and not getting involved in situations, you know, that could end their life? You know, how important is it to stay on the right side? Yeah, go ahead, please.
I say this. If you're an artist and you're coming into the rap game, the music business, if you're going to make songs about murder and shooting people and killing people, if that's your base, if that's your platform, you're a gangster rapper, you know, a hood artist or whatever, you label yourself, and that's going to be your platform, at least be a person who have experienced those things and you know the consequences of it.
Mm.
So therefore, whatever the consequences be, you can handle those consequences, you can deal with them. But if you coming into this game and you not like that, you just a rapper, you able to take those things that you see or that you hear and turn them into lyrics to where you know people could jam to it. The best thing is to make that type of music. Make the type of music like the type of person you are. And it will stop people
that.
Having to suffer those consequences. Make the type of music like the type of person you are.
Great.
And what do they say?
There's only so long you can pretend. There's only so long you can pretend.
Yeah, the Bible tells us life and death is in the tongue, and it's just about that cosmic balance. What you put out there is going to
come back.
And,
that's why I can't cry about what happened to me. Because
you gotta stand on what you're saying.
Right. That's why I can't cry about it. I don't cry about it. I don't whine about it because that situation right there wasn't meant for me, but who's to say that that ain't what God had for me for what I hadn't already done?
Right.
Yeah, man. And look, man, God didn't even talk about it. He was talking soldiers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, he didn't take my life. He just taught me a lesson. And he took my hand to remind me. I have to look at this and be reminded every day.
Yeah, man. And I bet all that's motivation for you now. You know what I'm saying? Like, all that weakness that you went through is now strength. And you know how short life can be and how 1 second everything can change. So, bro, you
know how important
gift,
life is.
Look, bro,
and I'm trying to use that gift.
I'm a 36-year-old dude. I'm a 36-year-old dude from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I heard your music and was like, bro, I got to talk to this dude. Like, there's a billion fucking rappers out there, man. There's, I would say there's more rappers than people nowadays, man.
Right. Everybody a rapper. Female or male.
Your shit.
Everybody.
Yeah, bro. You're that dope that, like, man, I ain't bragging by any means, man, but, like, I've interviewed the Ghetto Boys, 3-6 Mafia, MC Shan, Yuck Mouse, members of Wu-Tang Clan. I could go down the list for an hour on all these dudes I interviewed.
You got the whole who.
Yeah. Be like, bro, I can reach out to anybody for an interview, man, but I'm done doing that, man. I only want to interview people that I, like, truly rock with. I'm tired of talking to rappers, man. Like, oh, what's your album coming out? Like, all that dumb shit. Like, I want to talk to people I fuck with, I rock with. And, bro, like, not too many people that I can hear their shit for the first time and be like, damn, I'm moved by this. I need to talk to this dude, I need everybody to hear this dude's story because, bro, I don't. Ask Eric and T-Max, man, I don't coast not too many motherfuckers out there. I don't tell people, like, you got to check this music out. Bro, like, you know, I always make jokes about people.
Right.
And shit, like, you know what I mean? I clown rappers a lot, man. But, like, bro, I heard your shit, and I'm like, man, I gotta get him on, man, because even if you get, anybody listening to this, even if you just listen to that one joint, the 9 album. You just listen to that. Like, just please listen to that album. I'm telling you, don't listen to one song. Like, oh, I don't like this song. No, listen to the whole album front to back. And do it whenever you can actually listen to music. Don't be doing it while, you know, you're distracted while your kids are in the room and all that. So listen to it when you can actually listen to it. I'm telling you, man, you will not regret it.
I have to listen. But I started off my music career with L.O.G.
He was just telling me that, man.
I was in a group called the YGs. Me, rest in peace, Killer Key, rest in peace, Soul, and Luther. And we come up under L.O.G. L.O.G. the one who showed me how to rhyme to a beat. Because I knew how to rap. I could rap, like put lyrics together, but I never had been in the studio or rhymed on a beat until I hooked in with L.O.G. So L.O.G. played a big part in me becoming who I am today with his music.
He had nothing but great things to say about you. I have nothing but the utmost respect for L.O.G., so I wouldn't just put anybody on the backside of his interview. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I hit Eric up and I was like, look, man, I got LOG and Dirtzy. I want to just do it all in one night. I think it was a perfect way to do it. And it was just crazy because I didn't really know that LOG was that big of an impact on you. I didn't know all that. I just knew that you worked with him. You know what I mean? So like that.
Yeah, well, the project you heard that I worked with him on, that's something like more recent. But I have joints with LOG from, I'm talking about years ago, way from the 90s.
Yeah, that's what he told me. I had no clue. I had no idea. I was like, man, that's crazy. Like, when I know a lot of the LOG shit. Like, I just, like I said, I went away for a long time, and like, you know, there's some things I missed out on. But that's crazy that you go back that far with them.
LOG is on the album cover of the first project that I dropped ever. He's on the album cover with me. That's the YG's project.
Oh, okay, the YG's.
YG is doing it. Yeah, LOG is on the cover.
Oh, okay. That's dope, man.
Yeah, I've been doing this so long, I have a tape. How many artists are still relevant right now and they have a cassette tape of their first project?
Yeah,
recorded
that's crazy.
On ADAT, man. I mean, before they even had computers, Pro Tools, I recorded on ADAT.
Oh, wow, that's crazy, man.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So when can we expect 9.2, man? When can we expect that?
Like probably about the middle of the year, I'll say. Middle of the year. I've been dropping a lot of music on my like my YouTube channel, Project Music. My YouTube channel, Project Music TV. Got a lot of germs on there, and that's just germs, just, you know, me just keeping my lyrical exercise up, my staying sharp, you know, until I get ready to actually work on a project. Because, you know, like, if you're not rapping in between, you got to try to catch back up when you get ready to get in album mode. But if I'm steady just recording and dropping music, then I'm already in album mode. It's just now which direction I won't go with this and that when I'm putting together the album.
Yeah. Eric, if you get a second, you can check your inbox on Messenger. I just sent you a screenshot of the Project Music YouTube page.
Yeah, I see it.
If you don't mind, bro, like, could you maybe, like, subscribe to that or, like, put, like, a link on the Off the Cuff Radio page or something? Or go to the
Oh, man, ain't no problem.
Yeah, just to, you know, help get that out there, too. But, man, like, I want to get behind anything you put out, man. I just want you to know, man, like, I really rock with you. I'm glad that you made it through your situation. I'm sorry to hear that you had to go through that, man, but... Look, man, you went through it for a reason, and you got something special,
yeah.
Bro. Like, that's it, man.
Thank
you,
man.
There's a billion people out there that I could have reached out to. I heard your shit.
The world needs to hear me. You reached out to me because it's the person that you need to be talking to right now at this particular moment in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this story that I have, this story is, man, that's just the ice tip of the iceberg. We haven't even gotten into a lot of stuff when it comes down to me. At one point, I used to be a heroin addict, like, you know, for like 17 years, my whole teenage life. Like, I've been through a lot of obstacles that could have stopped the average person, but God got something for me, so I can't stop. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't.
Well, man, let's tap into that real quick, man, because that's a big, like, I mean, I know that the heroin was a big problem in New Orleans, and it is everywhere now. I have my issues with it, and there's a lot of people, yeah, like, people talk about sipping syrup and popping parks and all that. A lot of people don't know, like, man, you're pretty much just doing heroin at that point. Like, you're going to get dope sick. You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people don't understand, like, if you smoke weed every day, you can quit. You might be a little irritated or something. You can get over. You can't just say, I'm not going to do heroin today. Like,
yeah,
it don't work like that, bro. The withdrawals will have you sitting there for real, like, you know what, maybe I should just kill myself because they're that bad, bro. And I'm not
and that's
a suicidal
that's only when
type
you don't
dude.
Want to get high no more. When you don't want to get high no more, that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
You could be sick
if
you know you about to go get high. That's no problem. But if you sick and you know I don't want to go get high, that's the problem.
Yeah, man. And then the people don't understand, like, it's all cool. You're popping them pills and drinking that stuff now. But there's going to come a day when everything possible is wrong with you. Your back hurts. Your nose is running. You've got bad anxiety. You know, you're coughing, you're sneezing, you're pissing and shitting.
You're confused. You can't even think straight.
So you're sweating. You're cold. You're sweating. All that.
Yeah.
So you got to do whatever you can do to come up with that money to get the shit. Then you get the shit. When you do it, you can only chill for about 20 minutes, and then you got to worry about what you're going to do a few hours from now.
I got to get some more.
You got to start the whole way over, and then you got to make sure you got something for the morning because you ain't doing nothing until you get something in you. Because
it's going to make no sense to go to sleep if you're not going to have nothing to wake up to in the morning.
Yeah, there ain't nothing like being with y'all at 2:30 in the morning, and who the fuck you going to call at 2:30 in the morning to get shit? You got to sweat out the rest of the night. You ain't sleeping. You're not. You fall asleep, you're waking up 20 minutes later, and you're just going to feel worse anyway. But so I want people to really understand that, that's a whole different animal, man. That ain't smoking weed. That ain't,
I think that is the devil itself, man.
Bro,
that was terrible.
Here's why. It attacks who you are. If you're close to your grandma, I could never steal off my grandma. Man, that shit will make you do that.
That's true. But I'm glad, that I was able to go through that.
It puts the gun to your head.
Character.
Yeah, the tax return.
I'm glad I was able to go through it and keep my character. A lot of my family is listening right now. A lot of my family is tuned in. They didn't send me text messages. Let me know they tuned in. They listening now. Like my family, I didn't go that route with drugs. I chose to rob other people. See, I was a robber. I used to rob people, and I ain't messing with my family.
I never did that shit either. I was just using an example, it'll attack who you are.
But
it'll
will
be like,
make you do that.
Oh, you don't want to do that? Oh, okay. And in your head, it's like holding a gun to your head. It's like, all right, fine. Yeah. You don't want to do that? Fine. You're just going to be sick all day. And that's it conditions you to think that that's the worst possible thing that can happen to you. So you're just like, fuck, I got to do this shit. It makes you do so many things that just aren't you. It just turns you into a whole different person, man.
That's true.
I want people to really understand that shit. That shit ain't fun, man.
Popping pills and drinking syrup is the same thing. It has the same effect on your body as the heroin. It's like it has that same high that bring you down, have you all drowsy, feel good. Like heroin do, it has the same thing. The consequences of heroin, too, when you try to stop.
Yeah.
You're going to be sick for those drugs also.
Listen to what I just, all the shit I just said about the withdrawal. Go listen to Lil Boosie did an interview about whenever he was in jail trying to kick the syrup. He has the same syndrome. It's the same thing, man. Sipping syrup, man, you're just sipping heroin, man. That's all you're doing.
It's a liquid form of heroin, it's a pill form of heroin, and then there's just a powder form of heroin.
Yeah.
One thing
about it, as we've seen, too, is it's great that we're having this conversation because I don't think this is talked about enough in terms of hip-hop. With, weed is one thing, but when you get into the heart of drugs and everything, shout-out to BG. And we can only say this on the air because he's talked about this himself. BG was fighting this for a long time with his heroin addiction. And shout out to your family for listening. We appreciate y'all so much being tuned in, and we're happy to be having this time with your loved one.
I'm sure that he tells you this too, but thank you for riding with this young man, because Well, no, everybody knows when you go through some real shit, it's your family that you need the most, man. And you know, I'm sure you've had a long journey, Desire, and like, you know, I want to thank your family for sticking by you and supporting you in this music thing too. You know what I mean? So
thank you.
You're a talented young man. You're a talented individual, man, and we're blessed to have you alive today, man, and to see the shit that you're doing and living out your dream, man. And trust me, it's a dream worth pursuing because you're a one-of-a-kind type of artist, and you're a good dude. And, you know, as long as you just stay authentic, man, just stay you, bro. And
yeah.
The possibilities are limitless.
And Desire, we got to ask you this too, because so many rappers, you know, who've been doing it, you know, whether they're starting out or already at it, you know, they've never, sometimes, some of them never had that family support. How gratifying, how awesome has it been for you to have the support of your family in terms of standing behind you and really being your support system through everything you've endured and triumphed?
Well, That's my biggest fans. That's what keeps me motivated. Like my brother-in-law, he have a clothing line. It's called Family and Money. It's Family and Money NOLA. If anyone want to go check it out, it's called Family and Money NOLA. Check them out on Instagram. But that's the motto. Like just family and money. I feel like that's the only two things besides God. Family and money is the only two things that's really important. If you have those two things, you have enough to, you know, succeed in whatever you need to succeed in life. And my family, they've been there from day one. When I decided to start rapping, they was there. I decided to start being a drug addict, they was there. I decided to stop being a drug addict, they was there. You know, everything,
right.
Every step of the way, they was there. You know? My family, like, you know how people say their family only come together on funerals? My family come together spur of the moment. They might call me in a few minutes and say, come on, let's go. We're going by such and such house. And, you know, I've been here, that family atmosphere, and I think that's a big part of what keeps me grounded and keep my music being real, you know, because these people have to listen to my music also, not just fans. It got to be able to please the fans, but it got to be able to please people who know you personally. You know, you got to be able to touch them because they know what you're saying is real. It's really your real life that you're talking about.
Definitely.
Right.
That's a question, man. And then, man, we're going to go ahead and close this one out, man, for now. But I'd love to have you back on, man. And
man,
can do that part two of this.
We have some music to
you know.
They had some music to send because what we did too, we posted your video on our page so you know we can give it more love. So if you have any other music to send, so if you have any more music to send us, man, or you want things promoted, man, we got you, bro.
Oh man, I'll make sure I flood y'all, man, all the music I got, but see all kind of stuff.
I'm sharing your brother-in-law's clothing thing on my Instagram right now.
Yeah, Family and Money NOLA, and also follow Hot Sauce Clothing NOLA. That's my son's clothing brand.
Okay, I'm going to share both of those, man.
Family and Money NOLA, Hot Sauce Clothing NOLA.
All
right. That's my son and my brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah, I already followed.
Yeah, I'm going to have Pat send us the links, and we're going to follow them.
Oh, yeah, what I'm
going to
do,
I already posted the one. I'm posting the Hot Sauce Clothing over right now.
Yeah,
that's
my
son.
That's
your son?
Yeah, that's my son's clothing line, Hot Sauce Clothing NOLA. He's 13 years old. He has his own. Yeah, he's 13 years old. I started him his own LLC. I'm trying to get him, you know, to be able to start above where I started at. You know, I had went through the trenches. I went through all that. He ain't went through the trenches. You ask him where he from, he ain't going to tell you he's from the Desire because he's not from the Desire. His daddy from the Desire, not him. He just showed me his report card today. I want to shout out my son. He got all good grades. He's killing those honor classes that he's taking out there in Dallas. He
the genius
is track,
hereditary.
He football,
the genius is hereditary.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, man. He's just a super kid, you know, and I just wanted to give him a shout out. Good report card.
Nothing. I just shared both of those clothing line pages on my Instagram. Make sure y'all follow anybody that follows my Instagram, PittsburghPat_OffTheCuffRadio, and also the Off the Cuff Radio page. But you can go on there right now, and the last two posts are the clothing line pages that we just talked about.
Man, thank you, man. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
I most definitely will be back, dude.
Hey, look, man, I got to tell you, we can do a part one. You know, we just did the interview with LOG. Let's talk to you. We're going to let you go here. We'd love to have you back, man, and do a part two of this interview. And like I said, man, I told you earlier tonight, anytime you got something you need shouted out, shared, anything you need, you want to come back on for another interview, whatever, I mean that, man. Like, you guys rock with me. I made it my mission to fuck with New Orleans and to do my part in keeping New Orleans alive. I mean, I was raised up LOG and Soulja Slim and BG and C Murder, and you know, I say like we need to keep their legacies alive. I have an opportunity to do that in my way with these interviews and stuff, and that's what they want, is me interviewing everybody from the city, and say if I'm not doing that, I'm not doing my part, so I can't tell other people to do that. So I made it my mission to interview the people that I rock with the most, and that way it's not finished. You know what I'm saying? Like,
thank you guys for extending your platform to me, to give me the opportunity to let more people know what's going on with me, let them know my story, let them know about my music. I have a lot more that we could talk about on part two. We could get into some of the movies that I have out because I have movies that I'm in that's out. We got a lot more that we could talk about. We're going to do part two.
Yeah, let's do it. I'll definitely be in touch with you. We'll do that here in a few weeks, man. We'll do a part two to this. And
all right,
we'll give you the whole episode. We'll give you the whole episode, man.
I'm game, man.
Your story is crazy.
I have a lot to cover.
Yeah, your story is a great story, man. And I feel like we're just at the tip of the iceberg, man. So, you know, I guess I would love to have you back on, man. More times after that, even.
Yeah, however many times we can do it. As long as I keep on coming up with new content, new music, I'm gonna keep on talking about it.
Already, man. On that note, I'm about to hit, man. We definitely gonna keep
I'm gonna give you the floor real quick, man. Yeah, I'm gonna give you the floor real quick. Let everybody know where to find you at, what to follow, subscribe, anything you got coming out. Go ahead, the floor's yours, man.
Okay, well, first of all, I need y'all to go to YouTube. Project Music TV, that's where I upload most of my current music at. That's where you can go listen to all the music that I'm currently working on and putting out right now. Also, follow me on Instagram at Dirzire, DirzIre. If you're on TikTok, follow me on TikTok, Project Music 9. I want to give a big shout out to Family and Money Nola Clothing, Hot Sauce Clothing Nola. So Sleepy, it's a brand. Check that out. Check out Big Speaker Me LLC. Also, check out I for Star Entertainment. These are also artists and clothing designers that I'm working with, but we'll get in more depth with that next time. And thank you, guys.
Man,
thank you.
I can't thank you enough for your time, man. And I appreciate you coming on, man. I really do. And, you know, stay fight, man. Get strong and keep going at this, bro.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
appreciate
good night,
you,
brother.
Thank
I appreciate you.
All right, fellas.
All right, so that's no, we up out of here. Catch y'all Sunday night. Same time, different channel. Holla.
We out.
Thank you, guys.
Oh.